Welcome to the Ancestral Mind Podcast. My name is Colin Stucker, founder and CEO of Wild Foods Co. and theancestralmind.com. I am here with a full table. It's a square table. So we're going to do a square table, carnivore, round table, dogma, discussion. And Brent, my regular co-host, is in the room, but he is not on a mic. So please send him your love and shame to ancestralmind@gmail.com for not being on the show. Thanks, Brent. And today we are here with three other fit humans, fit and enlightened humans. And I want you guys to all talk about we're going to talk about carnivore, right? Was that what we're going to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. So Jamie, since you just said yes, you'll go first.
Awesome. So yeah, I started carnivore about, I think 9 days ago. I'm feeling really incredible and excited for this journey.
What journey?
The journey of cutting out most foods like plants and anything derived from plants.
Plants? What? How can you get rid of vegetables, the most nutritious thing on the planet?
You know, it's so interesting. The more that I dive into it and the research, the more I learn, the more I realize that they really disrupt the human bodily functions.
Well, that's some controversial nonsense you're spitting out right now, so we're going to get into that.
It is, but for sure.
Why don't you introduce yourself, besides being a 9-day carnivore diet enthusiast, who are you?
Oh, so I am Colin's sister, but I also help, do all the things Wild Foods, and I handle like social media, marketing, content, wild relationships, you name it.
It's what do you talk about on your channel? Because you have your own influencer.
Oh, brand. Yeah. So on my Instagram and my YouTube, actually, I do talk about some of the issues regarding binge eating and sugar addiction and recently sobriety. I'm day 18 sober.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nice.
So really excited about it.
We have a few other guests here. And so talk about yourself. Who wants to go?
This guy.
That guy?
That guy.
All right. My name is Logan Sneed with FusionLean.com. I'm an influencer, vlogger, and I change lives as I change my own.
Well, so are you? I've never actually heard you call yourself an influencer or a vlogger. So usually like fitness professional or?
I've never said fitness professional.
Health pro. So health, like, yeah, what do you actually call yourself? It seems like it's always changing.
Swolgan.
Swolgan? Oh my God. I love it. Swolgan Logan.
No, I just call myself influencer and vlogger and
brain cancer survivor.
Brain cancer survivor.
So you are now a fourth on the show veteran of the Ancestral Mind podcast. So congrats on that. That is a feat that only you have accomplished. So good job.
Special. You surpassed my record.
I'm special. Yeah.
And then we also are joined with a special guest from out of town, the host of the Mindless Millennials podcast, Mr.
Bailey Mullins. What's up, guys?
What up? He's
got that smooth talking podcast.
Yeah.
That's how he's we do a pro. It here. You know, I'm just Bailey Mullins with mindlessmillennials.com. I'm trying to learn from Logan a little bit, so try to market myself a little more.
What's a mindless millennial?
That's up for the listeners to interpret.
What's your definition?
See, if I was to say my definition, then that would ruin kind of like
what the idea. You don't even tell people who they are. You got to tell people who they are and what they should think.
Okay, so it's basically we're led with our hearts and not our minds.
Okay, the most vague answer of all time, but that's fine.
It's abstract. Isn't
who should
joke.
Listen to your show? Who's your audience? Is there an average like audience avatar? Or is it like wide? I mean,
yeah, I'd say.
Is it millennials?
Mostly college students. Gen Z and millennials, yeah.
And so you're just basically trying to help them maybe think bigger, enlighten their lives a little?
Well, I'm just trying to inspire people to care about other people and value other people the same way they value themselves.
Okay.
And so I think it's very important for us to be introspective enough to understand, oh, wait, like, it's not all about me. Mm-hmm. Colin has a path to work, too. And so if we both understand that our lives are valuable, then we can come together and create something new and then both derive benefit from that and both apply those lessons back to our lives. And that's pretty much what Mindless Millennials podcast is about. As far as defining what is a Mindless Millennials, you know, baby boomers could be Mindless Millennials, you know?
I think everybody could be a Mindless Millennial because, you know, There's mindless humans.
We all got iPhones, man. We're all millennials.
Yeah,
now,
we're on
know?
That path.
My outside perspective of what you're doing is, I think you're just trying to increase the level of self-awareness in your demographic, in your age group. And again, this extends to all humans. I mean, I've played poker with 50-year-olds that like are as not self-aware as when I was 21 years old. Like, it's just insane. The lack of self-awareness you find across all age groups. But obviously our generation growing up in this social media world, this distraction world, like, I feel like they have it even more, they have it harder because they just can get distracted and sucked
into
these
holes. Everybody has that same problem now. It's not just
people. That's why you can appeal to maybe a little bit wider audience, you know?
Yeah. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a super wide audience. Like, grandmas listen to me. Yep. But I think the fact that I'm not niched is kind of a niche in
it
itself.
Makes it more, yeah. It can make it more difficult in some ways, though, too.
I think long-term, it's excellent strategy.
Okay, cool. Good. Well, how can they check out your show? In fact, you guys didn't even share your where to find you. I mean, so, Bailey, where do people find you in the socials?
Yeah, so...
On the very thing we're criticizing today.
Yeah, at Mindless Pod on all socials. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find me on Apple Podcasts. That's the main place. Wherever else you want to find podcasts, I'm also there. I'm also on YouTube. We do a live show, so we're live every time. Live
Jamie,
video.
Where can they find you?
Oh, so on Instagram, you can find me at KetoLikeJamie, and my YouTube is just my full name, Jamie Stuckert.
Mr. Logan.
My name is Logan Sneed. You can find me on YouTube as that, and Logan_FusionLean on Instagram.
And then real quick, Jamie, swivel your mic over to Brent just to give him a little bit of exposure to today's show. Hey, Brent, welcome to the show.
What's up, y'all?
That's all you got? Okay, swivel the mic back.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I'm mostly going to just do sound effects on this one.
I like it.
And laugh at our jokes when...
I will laugh really loud. So if it's a joke that's funny, I'll make sure one of the mics picks me up.
Okay, good. Dude, I have to admit, right off the bat, you have like an incredible computer technician here. I can already tell. He knows what he's doing. He's making the sound effects.
Did he pay you to say that? Because I do fire him and hire him almost every show. All right, so let's dive into it, though, because today's episode is a roundtable on carnivore. Now, there's going to be a lot of topics we can talk about today other than just carnivore. We also are going to touch on some of the dogmas around, obviously, you know, the idea that vegetables are the best thing you should eat. We're going to try to unpack that a little bit. We're also going to get into just people's belief systems around food and how people make it about their identity. And this is something that even us, like you, Jamie, if you're going to be a carnivore now, you have to be careful of not labeling yourself as a carnivore and just be like, oh, no, I can't eat plants or whatever. Like, there's always going to be some gray area where you're going to function most optimally. And so whether it's veganism, where it's like only vegan, whether it's carnivore, where it's only meat, you know, or something that's more like general, more real food that leans towards carnivore, that would probably be what I would personally be doing in my life, you know. And then obviously I have my cheat meal here and there, not a big deal, but I want to unpack some of these ideas around diet and nutrition and just how, like, it's almost like religion at this point.
Yeah, like, it really is turning
into
that.
People are fighting and yelling at people. And I mean, there's death threats. You see vegans literally threatening people because they kill animals, saying, I'm going to kill you, and all this kind of nonsense, you know? So, I mean, where do we go with this?
Can I actually add something that I think will take this conversation in a different perspective than most of these conversations go? Is Logan and I were talking with my dad today that runs a genetic testing company. And it's like the variability of the human genome is so incredibly diverse all over the spectrum, everywhere in life. You can test genes and there's millions of different combinations. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, let's just get down to the nitty gritty and say a different diet works for everyone.
Okay.
I would beg to differ.
Well, so here's the thing. The ancestral mind, what we've covered the first 12 shows so far, is about focusing on the first principles. There's things we do know. We do know that before we started farming, there was no such thing as iPhones, refrigerators, food preservation. There weren't grocery stores. We would literally have to go in the wild and find a wild animal or wild plants and then eat them. So we know that is for sure how humans have survived for the bulk of existence, right? Brent, maybe you know. Oh, I can't talk to you. You're not on the mic. I forgot. So, Jamie, do you know how long Homo sapiens have been around approximately?
Approximately 30,000 years.
200-ish thousand years. Okay.
Well, if you're talking about a different form of Homo, but actual sapiens, I just learned in the book Sapiens that it's about 30,000, but I could be wrong. I think there was Homo something or other before that.
Modern anatomical humans, it's about 200,000 years. Okay, so maybe you misread. Homo erectus is longer. Then you have Australopithecus, which is like basically what they're saying is the ancestor right after monkeys.
That? How do we know that?
We know all these things from fossil record, carbon dating, things like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's pretty fascinating stuff. But what I'm trying to convey with that question is, does anybody know about how long we've been farming?
200 years?
12,000.
Okay.
This is great. No, this is great. Like,
this is what you're here for to learn.
You guys are close. You're in the range, okay? But so about 12,000 years. And so the first cities, you know, Mesopotamia is kind of the first city we found, right? And then that was a result of farming and being all settled down, et cetera. Because we wouldn't have been able to have cities or money or any of these things if humans weren't able to stay in one area, right? Because before our ancestors were nomadic, we would wander around, okay? And we would eat only food from nature. So regarding Bailey, what you're saying, there's massive variability in humans, mm-hmm. for sure. It's a complex system. Like the brain, like mm-hmm. we don't even understand how the brain works. It's the most complex creation in the universe, mm-hmm. known universe, right? The human body, I would say, is probably the second most complex thing, right? So there's things like hormones and there's things we're learning all the time. But we do know, if we look back to certain things, that we didn't have processed food.
Right.
We didn't eat as much sugar the way we eat today. We didn't eat the vegetable and the seed oils and things like that. Like, you couldn't find soybean oil in nature. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't. Like, even if you found soybean somehow, you might eat a couple of them.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't grow them in mass, right? Well, and so...
And I agree with that. We just don't have to guess nowadays. We have genomic nutrition. So we can look at your genetics and actually see what nutrients that you'll be deficient in based upon your polymorphisms on your genes. And you can actually see and optimize your diet based upon specific genetic code that you have.
Yeah, but, to some extent.
And so we don't have to guess. You can even dive deeper into that. Theorize.
Well, I would say that I don't think the science can tell you what foods affect what genes directly.
It can. Yeah, it can directly tell you what nutrition you need. See, the problem is...
Based on what, though? How do they know what thing you eat directs to what gene expression?
It's a combination between biochemistry and the genetic testing panel. And so the problem is right now that people are mostly taking 23andMe tests, mm-hmm. which are just a bunch of data on all your genes. But what GX Sciences has done is actually... They're like the Apple of genetic testing. If you think of 23andMe as the Android, GX Sciences is the Apple. It's an Austin-based company. And so what they've done is isolated the major genes that cause the majority of all common disease now and have been treating autism with it as well. And so they'll tell you, like, for example, there's a thing called a double GAD1 mutation, and I have it, mm-hmm. a homozygous GAD1 mutation. And so if you have that, you cannot convert glutamate into GABA in the body. And so if you try to introduce a form of GABA to your body to be able to relax, it's going to convert right to glutamate, and it's going to be a stimulant. If you didn't know you had that gene, you would not know not to introduce GABA into the body and that you need betalphenyl GABA in order to calm the nervous system and not be anxiety ridden all the time. And so 1 in 3 people that have depression or anxiety actually have 1 or 2 copies of the GAD1 mutation.
Yes, but this is a disconnect from food, though. This is almost like supplementation is to the food, to like whole food. Right.
Sure.
There's still a million variables we can't understand. Like, for example, I will always supplement with vitamin D and omega-3, right? Even if I'm eating as clean as I can, because I always feel like the food we're getting is lacking in some way. And
do you take vitamin D with K?
It's in K2, yeah.
Yeah, so you can actually look at D3, a gene and tell if you need the K or you're just having expensive P. So like your body, if it has the gene that absorbs enough vitamin D with K, then it will excrete anything more you put in. So knowing that saves you money in the long run and stuff like that. I'm not really, I mean, that doesn't really have to do with what we're talking about, but it's just a curiosity I have because we can get down to like the base root of what makes us a human, which is our genetic code.
Yeah. So I would like to hear more on and look at some of the data on that, sure. because I still think we're a long way from being able to make that connection. You can look at constituent genes and you can make correlations between how certain things work or whatever, but we're not to the point where like you can eat this piece of, let's just say chicken, and then know exactly how that's going to affect your body, because then you have sleep, then you have stress, then you have like mindset, which can cause chronic stress. You have all these other variables in this complex system. Like, we aren't to the point yet where we can like say you should literally eat only this food and this is exactly what's going to happen in your body, because we can't isolate all the variables. Like,
sure,
I think in 100 years we'll probably have something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I think the genetic testing now is a really huge step in at least optimizing certain things to prevent against disease. But the show, Ancestral Mind, and what I believe is really focusing on the first principles based on our ancestral past, because there are certain things, like I said, we know we only would have eaten real food, but we also, even more than that, know that we wouldn't have eaten processed food made by a corporation. Yeah. We know that for sure.
Yeah.
So
no McDonald's.
Mismatch, right? Like, so we know certain things we shouldn't eat, certain things we should. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously there's a million rabbit holes to go down, but
Like ADD. ADD optimized our ability to live in the wild. When we were in the woods, people with ADD were the first one to see the tiger coming to kill them. You know, it's the first one to see the bear and spot the bear. Mm-hmm. And now we force kids to sit down for 9 hours a day, which we ancestrally did not do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And which causes so many problems. And then we medicate them. We're like, why can't you sit still for 9 hours?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, and our ancestors that survived were actually really supremely in the now, which is why you get things like meditation, because they were constantly observing everything in their environment, and they were attuned to sounds, to scents, to a little bit of ruffle in the bushes over there. They would like, they would see things we wouldn't even see. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, but let's talk about a little bit about carnivore and dogmas around like this idea that, Logan, bro, why shouldn't you eat vegetables all day?
Why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that you shouldn't get rid of them forever.
Okay, but the question is, why shouldn't you just eat vegetables all day?
Why shouldn't you just?
Yeah, could you just eat vegetables and that's it?
Well, no, you wouldn't have protein. You wouldn't have amino acids. You wouldn't have zinc. Like for
what
me,
else?
Iron, what else?
Omega-3.
Yeah. Omega-3.
EPA, DPA, DHA.
Yeah. I mean, because I've seen a lot of, like, again, I'm not somebody who's like, well, vegan's bad, keto's bad, carnivore's bad. I don't think that. I just let somebody do what they do, and if it works for them, it works for them. But I've seen a lot of, for example, vegans or vegetarians who are like, oh, it's healthy, and then they just do straight vegetables, and they come back and they say, why do I feel so weak in the gym? Why am I so non-energetic anymore? I said, well, you'd be surprised. Like, I know meat is not like a pre-workout, but you'd have more energy just eating meat than you are having just vegetables. So
yeah, and I think the question I'm going for is there are things that are missing in a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. So you say, because you like to be a little bit PC, you say, I wouldn't say veganism is bad, but I will adamantly say veganism is not the natural human diet.
Right.
And that's why most vegans, after about 2 years, they run into problems if they're not supplementing with B12, because the liver in your body, any of this B12 that you have stored in your body gets used up, and they're just like, oh, wow, why do I feel like I'm about to die every day, right?
I really think that there is just a solid lack of understanding in terms of our ancestral history in general, human biology. And so I really just encourage people to read more and research and study. I think that's so important in this whole game of finding that the right diet.
So what do you mean? What should they research and study?
I think that studying our ancestral path is just not at the forefront of people's minds when it comes to this.
You mean past?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's obviously what this whole show is about.
It's important.
Like, when you understand where you come from, mm-hmm. you can understand why you do what you do, why you think what you think, but also why other people around you, right?
Yeah, and
that's
you
why
know,
this shows on like relationships and psychology are so fascinating, because they apply to everybody.
And I just think that we live in a world where we do what everyone else does. We are surrounded by toxic energy in all areas of life. And I mean, at the end of the day, we have the same DNA we had 30,000 years ago.
And 200,000 years ago.
And 200,000 years ago. But there is some truth to the 30,000 part from Sapiens. I'll get back to you guys on that.
That's a scam!
And I just think, you know, we've all, the propaganda is so real, and we've all just kind of fallen into this mindset where we just believe everything we see and hear. And I think everyone needs to question everything.
Well, so you
need
about to question veganism, though. It's like, or not even just veganism, but just let's say plants.
Or even processed foods, you know?
Well, okay, but most people understand processed foods bad.
Yeah.
Almost everybody universally believes that plants are healthy.
This is true. Right?
And so some of the new research coming up, the carnivore movement, is that maybe plants aren't as good as you thought. Okay, mm-hmm. now there's a lot of things to unpack here. And the reason this is so controversial, because a lot of things with nutrition is there's a lot of grayness.
Totally.
It's not black or white. Not all plants are good, not all plants are bad. Not each person's the same, not each person is like different or whatever. Like we're very the same in a lot of ways, but we're also different in enough ways to add a lot of variability. I saw a very fascinating study the other day. Was 99% of the pesticides, actually 99.99% of the pesticides that humans consume, come from the plants themselves. They don't come from the corporations. They don't come from the agro-farming. They don't come from the monocrops. They come from inside the plants themselves. Because guys, what are pesticides? Bailey, what's a pesticide?
Poison.
Against what, though? It's in the word. Pests.
Yeah.
It's literally, it's a defense mechanism.
So you're saying humans are pests, bro?
To plants. To plants.
Yes, to plants, yes, we're predators.
Humans are predators every other animal in the animal kingdom. So absolutely, like everybody hates us because we kill and eat them, right? So plants, though, can't move. They can't run away. And this is the thing about carnivore that when I started thinking about it this way, it was so fascinating because think about every other animal. Most animals, what do you think? How do they survive? Most animals.
Eating other animals.
No, I mean, like, how do they stay away from predators?
Running.
Or even more, hiding.
Okay.
Most of them hide. Like, they're really good. Think about when you go out, you don't really see animals, but, like, they're all around you, right? They're very good at hiding, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so plants can't do that.
I love how raccoons, if they stick their head out of a little gutter, they look like a little bandit. They did something wrong.
So... anybody have any thoughts on that? I mean, you know, like plants can't run, so they create pesticides that then attack pests.
Yeah, and pests. This is something that I've learned so much recently, and I'm truly, truly blown away by it all. And I just remember when I first learned of carnivore, I thought it was such a shocking idea. And I was like, what? That's too extreme. That's this. It's that. It's the other. And then I opened my mind to it, and I was like, oh, I have to go carnivore after hearing all of this and actually hearing the facts and the science behind the molecular makeup of plants, because those are facts.
But why can't you just do a carnivore based diet and also include plants and whatnot?
I think in some cases, if you don't have like histamine issues, you could possibly incorporate certain kinds.
Well, and there's certain plants that have more or less histamine effects.
Yeah, correct. But whatever. I also think that, If most plants don't actually provide you value and literally disrupt your gut, then what is the point? Whereas an animal, nose to tail, is going to provide you all the minerals necessary for life.
Yeah. I mean, there's other variables. There's life variables. There's habit.
Oh, well, that's a separate issue. Yeah.
So, you know, I think.
Oh, habits. Yeah.
I started Saturday and I've been feeling pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've been feeling pretty good. I've felt like I've been recovering easier and healing better. But I'd say just like anything, it's not black or white probably. It's probably somewhere in the middle. It's probably somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I just feel like we go to the extremes in society now, you know? It's just like black, white, red, blue.
Processed food is also extreme.
Yeah.
And we're all there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Aristotle called it the golden mean. So the golden mean is the ideal kind of equilibrium in the middle that is right in between the left end of the spectrum and the right end of the spectrum. Mm. So if you look at almost everything in life, you have this side of the camp, that side of the camp, the truth somewhere in the middle. Okay. Now, when it comes to carnivore, these are my observations, and I want Logan's take on this as well, because he's been, you know, you've been doing like kind of a meat and vegetable based diet for a while, right? And like, you obviously get amazing results with it and helping people change their lives and everything. And
I trust
and
you Logan definitely can. With everything.
Yeah.
Everything diet.
So when it comes to carnivore, I think if you're doing straight muscle meat and you're not one doing enough fatty meat and two not doing organ meats, I think you're failing. And I also think that you have to be protein fasting on a regular basis, because that is most ancestor appropriate. So some of the numbers of modern day anthropologists, they've studied hunter gatherers. They would go out every day to hunt. Let's just say the men went, for example, right? Which is traditionally, I mean, women hunted sometimes, but generally the men did it. Okay.
Right.
And they were successful hunting. I think the numbers was like 15% of the time or less. So if you went out 10 days, you might only get a big catch every 10, 15 days. So what you're doing, and this is what they also observed, they asked them, like, what did you eat when you don't have meat? They said, well, when we'll eat plants when real food isn't available. And what he meant was we'll eat plants when meat isn't available, right? Mm. Obviously, there's things like eggs. There was things like fish. And there's a lot of other things that we could have done to kind of supplement that. Yeah. But I think if you're not protein fasting sometimes, and there's some research to suggest that this is really good for you, I think you would then be doing carnivore wrong. So again, carnivore isn't just like eat meat every meal and you win.
Yeah.
It's just like you can't eat plants every meal and win, but you could have a plant-based diet and supplement with animal products, and some people do fine on that, right? Like Logan's probably like a 60% meat, 40% vegetables, or like a little less.
Well, I mean, if we're talking macros again, we're talking majority fat, medium protein, and obviously low carb. I just get a lot of my calories from the fat to keep my...
What kind of fat, though?
Fat from the meat. So eggs.
You're also doing nuts and stuff, right?
Yeah, nuts. I don't go overboard like a lot of keto people will. They'll make like 5 servings for the day. Oh, I'm getting 100 grams of fat in. I do like 1 serving. And then I'll bring in MCT oil for the meal to...
An avocado.
To therapeutically boost ketone production.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, avocado, things like that. So again, I want to make people clear, like, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not like, even, I don't even view myself as a nutritional master. I don't. I just view myself as somebody that's experimented in so many ways. And like, doing what I've done, it's worked for me. So if it's working for me, of course, I'm going to, you know, still do it, but I'm going to find other ways for it
to optimize.
It and change totally. It up. And that's why I love what I do, is in the sense of like, okay, today we're going to do a 20-hour fast and stimulate autophagy to prevent tumor regrowth. Okay, then tomorrow we're just going to start that. We're going to break the pure fast and we're going to do a fat coffee and do a fat fast. And then we'll have two meals a day. Okay, then the next day we're just going to do carnivore. We're going to get really fat meat in with beef tallow and we're going to do a 16-hour fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the next day we're doing a 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always changing up. It's always not allowing the body to adapt or whatever. And I'm never like binging on one specific food, allowing my body to kind of, you know, block it off eventually, you know, not have the whole purpose of what it's trying to do.
These always planned and like thought out, like, hey, I'm going to fast this day. Then this day I'm going to add an extra fat. I'm going to do this differently. Is this always planned out?
No, no, it's not, because like
life,
the part of that. Yeah. I mean, like part of it's like social media, like YouTube stuff. Like I want to try different things to show people like, hey, you could try this too. You know, if you don't want to, don't try it. But like the thing we did yesterday, you know, after I ran the 30 miles, I lost 4,000 calories in one day. I don't think I'm going to do an 18-hour fast after that day.
Yeah.
I need calories to recover. So I was like, well, instead of just having a meal, let me just bring in a fat coffee, bring it back. And then like the day after, I actually had some collagen with that bar. Like, what was that? I had half a bar and that was like maybe 14 hours into the fast. And that was like the first time in my keto life that I broke a fast with protein at that early time period. So
the thing that you're doing that I like, I didn't realize you were doing this as much, but the thing that is universal to the wild, which is therefore universal to humans, is variability.
Yeah.
Right. That's why fasting, I don't tell people that fasting is a diet. I don't tell people that fasting is something that you can try for weight loss. I tell people that you need to fast or you're not ancestrally appropriate, or you're not going to function optimally as a human, because it is one of those first principles. We know that our ancestors did not eat every day at the grocery store or at the restaurant or whatever. We know that they didn't wake up every morning to breakfast and three eggs and sausage or whatever. Crazy. Like there's certain things we know they didn't do. And variability is one of the ones that is very huge. Just like with carnivore, like if you're saying I'm going to eat meat all day, every day, like you're going to fail at some point. It's just it's not what we would have done, right? There needs to be periods of fast and famine, just like there are seasons, just like there's certain fruits that are available certain times of year. There's certain animals that are available certain times of year. There's more and less greens available certain times of year. So like our ancestors did a lot of things in a very, very varied way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like I view like fasting, again, there's nothing, it's not hard. You don't eat. Now I know that it gets to a point where it's like, well, it's hard not to eat. But what I've noticed with fasting, bringing it into carnivore, bringing it into keto, is I've grown so much mentally, because we're all drained with these Pop-Tarts and stuff and seeing commercials
and eating all day long.
And so now my thoughts of food in general have completely washed down. And now that I've grown stronger mentally, I'm taking myself to new physical levels.
Yeah. Well, and also you talk about Pop-Tarts. I mean, you don't eat that.
I used to a lot.
You see a lot of Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
We all did.
There is something to be said for the mental aspect of restricting things. But what I think you're also experiencing is hormonal regulation. Most people listening to the show that are kind of on like a 3 square meals a day, or they're hungry every 2 hours or whatever, they've never in their life known what it's like to wake up and work all day long and eat your first meal at 8 p.m. But when you actually do that, people might be like, that's crazy. You're like, dude, I didn't even think about food once. What are you talking about? It's crazy. It's crazy to go eat and then feel tired for 2 hours in the middle of my day when I was just crushing work all day.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and a lot, and that is hormones, right? So it's just, that's why it's ancestrally appropriate though, because we're supposed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to, when we get hungry, it might be a hunger pain, but we could really be fine if we didn't eat or whatever. We're not supposed to be like, I'm starving, right? Anytime someone tells me that, I'm just like, oh man, that's weakness, right? That's hormones out of whack.
Yeah.
Right.
So how have you felt being on carnivore so far? Like energy?
My energy has been really insane. And I've also been trying to get rid of caffeine. So I think that when I fully get rid of caffeine and make that jump, I'm really going to see the benefits of carnivore.
Mm.
I do need to get some omegas in there. I haven't been on top of that game, but I am taking liver pills.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cod liver or? No, just the beef
liver. Beef liver, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my energy has been really great. My sleep is awesome.
Nice. Would you like a call to action to the audience before you go?
Call to action. I really just recommend people do more research on this topic. I think that it's just extremely crucial to have a better understanding of our ancestral background.
Yep. And where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Keto Like Jamie, and I do talk about it a lot on there. And then I also discuss it on my YouTube channel, Jamie Stuckert.
All right. So welcome Brent back to the show.
Hey, Jamie, I'm back.
Jamie left us and Brent has joined us. What are we going to do to wrap up the show? What do we want to talk about?
This is a little bit backtracking because I wasn't on the mic.
On carnivore, Brent?
It was an overall overarching thought because you hear a lot of times people talk about I went vegan and I got healthier, or they'll say there's a correlation between going vegan and living longer. And sometimes you have to realize that if you're paying attention to what you're eating, you are going to be better off than anyone who's not paying attention to what they're eating, regardless of what the diet is.
And also, what are they removing from their diet when they do that?
Yeah, they're removing a lot of bad
things.
Stuff.
They're removing that is actually giving them the positive effect.
Yeah, it's not that vegan is optimal,
right?
It may not even be that carnivore is optimal, although it seems to be that it's very good.
Yep.
What it is it's way better than whatever they were already doing.
Yep.
So that's when someone tells you, listeners out there, that that they're healthy because of veganism, they're not wrong. They just may,
they're it also
may
not, not be, right.
Yeah, they're also not 100% right. It may not be optimal. So that's important to think about.
That is a good point.
I just think it's crazy. It's like, I don't know. It's like half of the people are like, I only eat plants. And the other people are like, I only eat meat. And that's going to give you cancer. And then that's going to give you cancer. It's almost like
carb up, bro.
Well, it's almost like two completely opposite humans. I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around
it. Joe Rogan said it best. He said, some people are vegans for the right reasons. They have a lot of moral concerns about the life of animals, and they're doing it because they feel bad for how animals are treated.
That's true.
And some people are vegans because Scientology didn't find them first.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get dogmatic about something.
Environmental issues.
I don't. Do you know what Scientology is, Logan?
Yeah, I do.
Like the religion thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you know what it is, Bailey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know if that went over everyone's head.
It was created by funny a fictional to me. Author.
Yeah.
You want to know?
On a bet.
You want to know?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
He was a real author. He actually wrote science fiction.
No, he wrote science fiction.
That's why I said a fiction. Oh, okay. I guess
I said that wrong. You want to know something funny? Right. My mom went to his apartment in the 60s and helped him package books one time on like she answered an ad for a job. And
wow.
She made the connection that sounds that was like him like 30 years ago or 30 years after when she saw some like picture of a book or something.
Probably in Dianetics or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, wow. And she looked at the back. She's like, this is literally the guy. And this is before he was hit famous or done any of the things, right? And
right after he made the bet.
That's pretty crazy. So anyways, we got some smart people on the show, but we got to talk about some stuff. So what can we talk about that's going to enlighten our audience and give them something actionable? Because I know it's a little bit rambly. We're rambling about carnivore, but I know we want to talk about like food dogmas.
I'm going
to
say inflammation. Mm-hmm. It's such a big thing in people's life, and they don't really understand that they're heavily inflamed. Like, I don't have inflammation. Or are you heavily stressed? Gosh, I'm heavily stressed. Oh, do you have an injury? Yeah, I have a really bad injury. Oh, did you sleep good? No, I slept terrible. And that all is precursors to heavy inflammation in the body.
How do you solve inflammation?
Well, there's a diet, there's, you know, turmeric, there's a lot of different variabilities in meditation, all that sort of stuff. But what I experienced yesterday after running 30 miles, being inflamed times a million for 2 days straight, doing the cryotherapy, people were always telling me to like try it out. I'm like, yeah, I will. And I did. And we're standing in a room. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Mars is negative 139 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the room is negative 170 degrees.
So it was a full chamber?
Full chamber.
Chamber.
That's crazy. How long did you go in there for?
2.5 minutes?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, that's, I know, 30 that's second crazy. Warm up in a slightly warmer room, and then 2.5 minutes.
Does it hit you? Freezing. Does it hit you like icicles and like in cold water, or is it different?
Way different.
Yeah. It's different.
But your nipples start hurting at the end.
But honestly, going with nipple patches. I didn't realize it was like negative 170. I'm like, that's crazy. I thought it was like, I don't know, 30-ish. I mean, it really wasn't as cold as I thought. And then like after that, we went into the red light rooms.
That was my favorite.
That was amazing.
Was it a sauna? So did you sweat or just was it straight light?
So yeah, here's the thing. You stand butt naked in this red light room. And that is, apparently there's research on tumors and red lights mm-hmm. on how that can significantly prevent, shrink, or even get rid of a tumor. Mm-hmm. And so I've been wanting to do it, and it's been shown for mental clarity, detoxing, skin improvement, sexual performance, mm-hmm. Athletic. I mean, there's so many different variables, and obviously heavy inflammation reduction. And we did that, and that was just like amazing.
You can get one of those.
Yeah, home version. Yeah, you can get that.
I think it's called a Jouve, right? J-O-O-V-E or something yeah. like that.
But like, think about that, taking it to
that's
like,
the ones I have.
Yeah, I mean, take it to another level. Just stand
a full room. Yeah,
I mean, it was intense.
I also want a sauna. I want to get a really good yeah. sauna every morning when I can afford it. Maybe we'll get a property. We'll have a huge sauna. So Logan, yes, why is fat bad for you?
Why is it bad for you?
I'm not. Just answer the question to the best of your ability. Is it bad for you? They're off. Well, I'll make it easy for you.
Fat's not bad for you, but there's different ways of viewing fat. So it's almost like, here's the thing, okay? What good fat out there that you can find that doesn't have carbs? That does have carbs?
Well, nuts have some carbs.
Okay, but I mean like...
It's very low.
I mean like just as much. Like, what's a fat source out there? Like what
most fat sources don't have carbs.
Exactly.
Okay.
So fat's not bad. And I'm not going to sit here and say carbs are bad, but carbs are actually the one that's hurting the people and they don't realize it.
Why is that?
Well, that's because the companies are going to say the fat is bad and because they can't make X, Y, and Z products or Pop-Tarts or whatever with just fat. They have to have the carbs for the sugar, for this, for that, mm-hmm. so they can sell that to make their money. So they bring in the carbs and the sugar.
Well, also carbs are the primary reason why people are metabolically deranged.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess really what I want to ask is like, fat itself.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody thinks, and I'm sure you guys can echo this, that everybody's been taught that fat is bad for you. Mm-hmm. Or that fat causes heart disease. How about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's the source of fat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the type of fat definitely matters. Like, obviously, soybean oil and grass-fed beef tallow are completely different things. But for in general, let's say a good fat source from, like, a clean animal, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if you know this, but they basically have debunked the fat hypothesis. Fat does not cause heart disease.
Yeah.
Right. It's inflammation, which is usually more correlated to exactly. sugar consumption, processed food consumption, and highly refined processed carb consumption. Mm-hmm. Right.
Carbs. Are
the, no, I know. The I was basically trying to get on. You to say like it's a lie. You've been lied to.
Oh, okay. Fat is, okay. I thought like, you were like trying
keto
to
keto diet is like 90% fat. Yeah, how the fuck could fat be bad?
Yeah. No. That's what I was like
a little bit of a trick question there, bad. Logan.
No. Fat's not bad at all. But it's just weird because like my diet used to be. Fat is bad, and now it's fat is good. So it's like doing a full 180.
So why is that, though? Why do you eat more fat now? Isn't keto like 90% fat or 80% fat?
70 to 80? Yeah.
Okay. So if fat was bad, you wouldn't do keto, right? But you're doing keto, yeah. So therefore fat can't be bad because Logan wouldn't do it.
Well, I mean, I can bring this back to my story of, you know, the whole tumor thing just kind of opened my eyes. Like it forced myself to open my eyes. It's like, hey, you got this tumor. This fat's going to help you kind of prevent the tumor from coming back. Do you trust me on that?
Who told you that?
Well, no one told me that, but that's how I kind of viewed the whole thing. Because I was like addicted to carbs and sugar.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, never look at those things again. That's the reason you could have got a tumor. Now, do you trust me on eating the fat that everyone's talking about that's bad for you? Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I kind of viewed the whole shift. And it was like, it just opened my eyes in so many ways. Now that I've actually taken the step and have done it, now fat is amazing. And now it's changed lives. And now, obviously, keto in general, higher fat intake has... There's been so many new research, data out there on saving and changing lives, and
yeah,
everyone's minds.
Also,
now
people shifting. Are just getting results. But so, why doesn't fat mean fat on your body? Because that's what everybody thinks. They hear fat and they think I'm gonna eat fat and get fat. Do you know why that isn't the case?
Like right now?
Yeah. Or? Well, so you're lean and fit. You have abs, yeah. right? And you eat mostly fat. Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? Because most people think that shouldn't be the case.
Well, there's two answers to it. Is now I'm burning ketones for fuel. The other answer is because I'm not consuming carbs.
Okay, so why would carbs make you fat?
Because carbs are going to spike your blood sugar heavily.
And then insulin, but obviously.
Yeah, make you insulin resistant.
Which is a storage hormone.
Yeah, and right? then stress you out and then make you want more food and then make you want sugar and then right. cause inflammation and then you're not active and then you're stressed, you know.
And, well, do you understand what that is? And maybe we can, maybe Brent knows. Maybe since he's on the show, we want to include him as well.
Yeah.
Why carbs contribute to fat gain, though? Like, do you remember the ancestral? Yeah,
it's about where they're stored. Like, once they fill up your
liver
well, that, they,
and that's fructose, yeah, and it competes. There's limited areas in your body to store extra glucose or fructose, right? And what most people do when they're eating 300 grams of carbs a day is they fill up those stores, and the only place that that stores can go is the fat cells.
Yeah.
Right? But from the ancestral perspective, Brent, the reason that we have very little, the reason we respond the way we do to carbs is because there's not very many in the wild.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, today, the base of the food pyramid is all carbs.
Yeah.
Right? So, obviously, people are fat and sick. That's like basic, the basic heuristic to understand it. Okay? But if you... Fat doesn't have that problem, though, because fat is mostly hormonally neutral, right? Where carbs are just like spike your insulin all over the place, right? And they contribute to fat gain. But the reason that is because in the wild, when you came across honey or fruit or whatever, you would eat as much as you could. Because why? Because in the wild, you want to store calories for later. You don't have a fridge.
Yeah.
You don't have Ziploc bags in a freezer. Like, you literally have to store it on your body, or you don't get to take it with you. So that's the ancestral reason why fundamentally carbohydrates are a storage vessel, because they respond to your body hormonally.
I wonder, should it just be a different word, the fat that's in food and the fat that is on me?
It's like, yes, it should be. It really got a bad rap because of that, because people started calling people fat, and they're like, oh, well, you can't eat fat then.
Right? Like, it's just this weird thing. I don't know what the molecular structure is of the two different things, but I feel like they should totally be called something different.
Yeah.
That's what makes English difficult.
English language really stinks.
Bailey, you have anything you'd like to add about the fat? The misconceptions around, everybody taught growing up that we are all supposed to avoid fat like the plague, and that has basically failed us thus far.
Yeah, I just agree. It makes sense that if you haven't burned fat for your whole life, you've been eating processed foods and burning mostly glucose, that when you add in the fat, it's going to take a little while. You got the keto flu, you know, you got a little bit of time before you get fat adapted. And when you get fat adapted, that's when it teaches your body actually how to make or how to use that fat effectively. So you're not initially with keto, you're not going to lose any fat based upon your body really figuring out how to burn fat. You're mostly going to lose the fat because of less calories and less like processed water calories. Storage too. Yeah, because you're transitioning into a different type of fuel. And so, like, once you've been on keto for a while, bet you all the listeners know what keto is, but basically teaches your body how to burn fat, which is burning ketones. Mm-hmm. When you've been on keto for a while, you're very adapted to food. And so first off, when you're on a standard American diet, you have to transfer over to being able to be a fat burner. Once you've been a fat burner for about a year, then you can start varying your diet a little bit more, and eating a little bit extra carbs isn't going to affect you as much as at first, because basically when you're eating all these carbs in the standard American diet, you're getting oxidative stress on your cells, which is making your mitochondria work poorer, which is making your autophagy system not work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Logan mentioned autophagy before. Autophagy is the base word of that is self-consuming. And so when you
can you explain what that is? Self-consuming what? What is the body
self-consuming
doing?
Yeah. So when you stimulate autophagy, your body takes these broken cells. So you can imagine it like a cell with a bunch of gears in it, and it's just gunked up where it can't move. Mm-hmm. That's like a broken cell. Everything
your body recycles it.
It recycles it. So other cells eat it up.
Yep. So you basically are left with new cells.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of, I mean, you know what I think about all the time? Wolverine's awesome. He's my favorite Marvel character, and because he heals so fast. Yeah. But then I'm like, wait a second. We're all Wolverine. We fucking heal. We can break our arm, and in like 3 months, we're good, right? Yeah. We just do it slower, so it's less fascinating. But if you think about the reality that we literally self-heal and self-regenerate, it's freaking fascinating, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of what it's doing at like the microscopic cellular level. Is our body is constantly replenishing cells to keep us new and fresh. But most people don't know what keto flu is. Like most people, in fact, some people might not even know keto, so we should probably just explain that. I don't feel like we gave that definition. So, like, what is keto flu?
Keto flu is whenever your body is lacking the usual amount of glucose it has within it.
And glucose is carbs, right?
Yeah, it freaks out. So carbs convert into glucose in the body, which everybody was convinced that was the only way that you could survive. You could never survive off of ketones as a fuel, which is when you burn fat.
Yep.
And so the keto flu is when your body's freaking out. It's like, I've been doing this my whole life, man. Mm-hmm. Give me some sugar.
Right. Well, and, it is. It really is. It's like, it's because sugar is an addictive drug, but it's not just sugar. You know, it's bread. It's pasta. It's like, I mean, what other carbs people even eat nowadays?
French fries.
Yeah, like white starches, rice. You know, if you're eating that as a base of your diet, your hormones are like used to that spike.
And let's talk about French fries, right?
Okay.
French fries are carbs and fat. And that is what causes you to store the fat the most. Because for one, you're getting a poor source of fat, which is mostly like...
Yeah, like the soybean oil they fried
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly, which is horrible. Yeah. Causes a bunch of oxidative toxic. Stress. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get the carbs. So your body has two different fuel sources. It has the fat and the carbohydrates. Well, your body is taught, because back to the ancestral thing, right? We were mostly fasting, so we're mostly running off of...
Stored body fat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But we're always worrying about starving. So whenever we'd find a source of fruit, it was really good to store fat.
That's why it's so tasty.
Yeah, because you need that extra fat on your body. The reason we store fat is so we won't die of starvation.
Yep.
And yeah, so basically when you eat both of those things together, your body chooses the glucose over the fat and just automatically stores the fat because it's like, I'm going to need this later.
Yeah, and what they're showing, a lot of the research that, any of the research that suggests that fat intake might correlate, even if it's a loose correlation to like heart disease or whatever, it's always when they're eating really shitty fats with a lot of really shitty carbs. And like those two, yeah, like eating a bunch of soybean oil is probably going to contribute to heart disease or cancer,
same
right?
Same with meat consumption. The China study is inherently flawed because of processed flawed, meat.
But and if they carbs. Are correlation, sure. If there is correlation, it's a lot of it is done. A lot of the people in China study were actually like smokers. They did things like that. So like they didn't control for all those variables. But you know, keto though, let's just like at least give. I still to this day can't really give like a good 2-sentence summary. Can you give me your tightest, most succinct summary of keto, of what it is, what you actually eat, and why it's beneficial?
Okay, so keto is a high fat, medium protein, low carb diet. Now, you can bring it in different ways. You can do it medium protein, medium fat.
There's ranges.
But let's do it. Let's summarize it for everybody. High fat, medium protein, low carb diet. And it was found through epilepsy. There was actually young kids.
Wasn't that like the 1900s? Right?
Yeah.
And they were trying to what? They were trying to curb epilepsy in patients, and they fed them basically high fat. Did they also give them like MCT oil and stuff?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Because MCT oil skips straight to your liver for immediate energy, but... All in all, again, the keto diet is where your body's using the fat that it's bringing in and the fat that's stored in your body to burn for energy.
So as opposed to eating carbs all the time.
Yeah. As opposed to eating the sugar and then just storing the sugar.
Yeah.
People just eat it and store it, eat it and store it. And they say, why am I not losing fat? Well, because you're not using fat for fuel. And I'm not saying you can't lose fat doing that. You can. But I'm saying your body now adapts to something completely different. And that's when it's a big change for you. And so the keto diet, all in all, as far as what's a good fat, what's a good protein, what's a good carb, the good fat obviously is going to be, I think, coconut oil, avocados, fat meat from, you know...
Fatty fish. Sardines.
Ground beef, steak, eggs.
Grass-fed red meats, obviously. Yeah, wild game.
Yeah.
You know?
Avocado oil, cocoa butter, things like that. And then... Good veggies, I think, is going to be, you know, again, avocados. I think a serving of nuts. I think some asparagus, some cauliflower. I think some, what else, like Brussels sprouts, you know, things like that to where, you know, and people say, well, that's carb. That's bad. Well, no, there's a way different glycemic index reading on the carb from an asparagus versus a carb from a potato.
But also how much carbs is in like a serving of sweet potato, or not sweet potato, that's a bad example, but a potato, right? You might have like 50 grams of carbs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, how much cauliflower would you have to eat to get 50 grams of carbs? Most people couldn't even eat it in one sitting.
You would have to eat.
I mean, like pounds of it. Like it's absurd.
This
guy knows off the top of his head. I was asking rhetorically and he's trying to give me the number.
about 700 grams.
Okay. 700 grams, 28 is an ounce. That's like three, isn't like 4 pounds or something?
It's like a lot.
Or even more than that. Like that's a lot of pounds.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So fundamentally, though, why are people losing weight on keto? You know, because obviously they're controlling their hormones.
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about how insulin is a storage hormone. Mm-hmm. Well, like Dr. Fung talks about like this a lot. He's the fasting guy. And he talks about if there's even a little bit of insulin in your system spiked from whatever your baseline is, like the second you release a little bit of that insulin, your body just shuts down fat burning. It goes into like storage mode. Mm-hmm. And what do you do every single day when you're eating carbohydrates? You just keep insulin high. Or worse, it comes down and crashes and you feel like shit and it comes up again, right? And that's why people can't lose weight even when they're doing like calorie restriction, right?
Yeah.
Because their body goes into starvation mode and their hormones are like all out of whack and their body's like, no, I'm not burning fat. Are you crazy? Yeah. Like you better feed me. And then they get cranky and moody or whatever. And it's like, it's this vicious cycle. And that's why keto is, I think, the most ancestrally appropriate.
Yeah.
Like we would have eaten a lot of fatty animal meats. We would have eaten like greens and vegetables we could find here and there. We'd probably have some nuts and seeds. But most of our nutrition would have been like fat and protein and then a little bit of carbs.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot along with optimizing your hormones. I think one major thing that a lot of people don't mention whenever they say, why does keto make you lose weight, is mitochondria optimization. I think that's one of the biggest parts of it. You just get better at using energy. You get better at, you know, using energy effectively in the body, and your mitochondria, for people that don't, your mitochondria is the basically what you'd learn in chemistry or in biology.
Aren't they like your little like energy systems basically?
Yes. So they're on a cellular level. They mm-hmm. power your cells. Mm-hmm. And so if your mitochondria is off, it's like, so autophagy, right, cleans the gears of your cell. Mm-hmm. The mitochondria makes the gears turn. So if either one of those are off, mm-hmm. then you're going to have a problem. If your mitochondria is great, but your, usually they're go hand in hand, but if your mitochondria is great and your autophagy system's not working, you still can't move the gears however much power you put into mm-hmm. it. And so a lot of times,
so you age faster.
And this goes back to the genetic testing thing, right? We don't know, because there's this thing, you know, you take PQQ, right? Or you have?
I have, and I have some other similar, like, yeah. anti-aging supplements and stuff, yeah.
So there's this specific product called MitoCell PQQ that has basically the PQQ and all the precursors in a methyl form. Mm-hmm. So your body can just absorb it instantly. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't take a genetic test, right, you don't know if you need a supplement to help your mitochondria. Because if you have a deficiency based upon your genetic code, like if you have a mutation on your mitochondria mm-hmm. cell, there's no amount of plants that you can eat that will make up for that deficiency and get you back up to 100%. So when they looked at the genetics of top NFL athletes, they had close to 100% mitochondrial function. Most, and this is mostly African-American males. Mm-hmm. Most white males, and this is not a racist thing, this is just a genetic code thing.
Some people might argue that, but that's fine. Where it's a shame-free, race-free zone. But if it's based on biology, it's game.
Well, and white people and Mexican people have the worst mitochondria function that was found.
Is that based on like a certain set of genes, or like something that's not turning on the right way, or
it's what a specific mutation on a specific gene that's been
isolated.
But
also on the flip side, most European descent can digest milk a lot better than a lot of other people, because they 12,000 or so years ago we started domesticating animals more and using their milk.
So if we're talking about, and this kind of transitions the topic, and I don't know if you want to do this, but I think it'd be a good topic to talk about, and it relates to ancestral health, is one of the major reasons we're talking about inflammation, right? And one of the major reasons you're doing keto, Logan, mm-hmm. is because you're trying to turn off inflammation.
Yeah.
Well, if you isolate back to the Black Plague, right? Our ancestors survived the Black Plague. If we're white Americans, mm-hmm. our ancestors survived the Black Plague. African-American males did not go through the Black Plague. And so the ones that survived the Black Plague needed high levels of inflammation in their body. They needed to have the genes that were optimized to increase inflammation mm-hmm. extremely. And so when we went through the season of the Black Plague, where everybody was falling off except the people that had high inflammation, it was the activation mechanism to spread on those genes. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I never want this to happen again. Your mm-hmm. body's like, okay, I have to give my son, my daughter, my offspring this genetic code, because mm-hmm. I don't want them to die.
Yeah.
And so what happened is now our bodies are optimized to be inflamed, to protect against these big, big bad diseases. Those don't exist anymore, but we still have that same problem.
Mm-hmm. So it probably results in, like, by compensating for the Black Plague, it causes some other issues in some other areas. But one thing we're seeing universally, every color, every race is getting fat in our modern environment.
Yeah.
Like, because of the sugar and the grains and these, like, and so I wonder what the future humans are going to be like in 1,000 years. Are we going to be able to eat more carbs because we just ate more carbs? Like, mm-hmm. I think our offspring will probably be better with more carbs. It still won't be the amount of carbs that, like, you know, people that are getting sick and eating, because their offspring are going to basically be weed out of the gene pool eventually, unfortunately. But I do think that because we have so much food available and so many carbs available, that we will adapt in some way. But I mean, there's going to be a great culling and reckoning of this, of our species, before that happens, you know?
I don't personally think we're going to make it 1,000 years from now.
I think we will.
I hope we do.
I think we will innovate away.
If we do, we'll be probably immortal at that point.
Well, we'll either
be,
yeah,
but is that a good thing? Because personally, I want to die.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to die tomorrow. In theory, I want to live forever, but then like, what does it look like when you live forever?
Well, at least
it's boring. It's boring.
No, you're right. It does.
It depends how it works.
I've thought about that too. I think if you could live forever, they've proven that humans are happy when they're working towards something.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's why Jeff Bezos and people like Buffett, because they love what they do so much. It doesn't matter how much money they have. In fact, if you gave away their money tomorrow, they would probably get it back in like 10 years. Right. Yeah. They love what they do. But you find people that make like a few million, they sold their business and they like sit on a beach and they're like, I'm freaking miserable. Right. Or even artists that get to the top of their game and they no longer have to really try. That they like kill themselves, or they like Robin Williams, mm-hmm. example, the Linkin Park guy, like things like that. Like it's not always that easy when you get to those levels. Now, obviously a different topic, but humans that are working towards something live longer, are happier, and just like spend their days more, you know, just better, right? Which is why like if you have a job that you hate, like, bro, you need to fix your life. Yeah. Bro, or
it goes back to this fundamental principle I was telling Logan the other day, is that and my dad's instilled this into me. He's like, if you have a year to complete a task, it's going to take you a year to complete that task. But if you have 30 days to complete that same task, then you're going to get it done in 30 days. I think the fact that we have an end to our life makes our life valuable in a specific way.
But Brent, who is this show sponsored by?
Oh my God, we didn't do an ad.
No, we didn't.
Oh my God, we're so stupid. Well, this show and all of its really out there theories is brought to you by Wild Foods. You get real foods, real ingredients. Wildfoods.co is where you're going to go and put in AMPodcast12
as your
code
off.
For 12% off. Tell them Colin sent you because Brent screwed this ad up.
Yes, he did, but at least we got in there. And
the Colin Stuckert.
Wild Foods is in the expressions, opinions, expressions. Theories, views of the show are not in any way representative of Wild Foods or any of their employees or et cetera, et cetera.
If you want to hear more,
shame-free zone. If you want to hear more conspiracy theories about aliens and pigs,
please go to
the Mindless Millennials podcast at Mindless Millennials Pod.
At Mindless Pod.
Mindless Pod. So MINDLESSPOD.
That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You type that in Google, that'll come up. And then Logan, thanks for coming on the show and sharing some of your, what is it? Keto?
Team Keto.
Team Keto. So you can, Logan _ Fusion Lean, right?
Yes, sir.
When Instagram works, because today it's not working.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody probably knows what day that is. That's going to be like in our history books forever. The day that Instagram didn't work, right? And then Brent, you can follow him on Twitter, Brent to T.
Brent to D, yeah.
And on his podcast, which if you're interested in cryptocurrency or anything like that, I highly recommend going there. You will find a no shill, no BS,
no shill.
Never take shill, money from any of the ICOs or anything. And that is the Crypto never. Basic Podcast, right?
Yep, Crypto Basic Podcast, yeah.
Okay. And solid. That's a wrap. Thanks for listening and watching. Go on YouTube and iTunes to leave us a review.
Boom.
I guess YouTube will be there, yeah.
I should have started that earlier. I didn't realize we were on the outro.
I'm like, should I say something?
Love you guys. MindlessMillennials.com.
Dude, it is still not freaking working.
Logan's going to get no sleep tonight. Every hour is going to be
checking. I'm not sweating.